And I always tell people this. You go undefeated, you don't learn anything. You both just went undefeated. What did you learn?
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of the Coaches in the Mouth podcast. Today, we have a powerhouse episode lined up for you. But before we get started, we want to thank a couple of our partners. We'll start with a huge shout out to Lindsay and Associates. Lindsay and their team have been leading the real estate business in Northwest Arkansas for over 50 years, and they are the driving force behind our podcast. Before we get to our guests, we want to thank Andrea Hanna's Law Firm. If you need legal expertise that you can rely on, Andrea Hanna and her team are there to support you every step of the way. Plus, an extra thanks to ETX NWA Rentals, providing top-notch rental solutions in Northwest Arkansas. If you're looking for quality rentals, they've got you covered. If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider hitting subscribe to allow us to continue to bring on these incredible guests. Enjoy the show.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Coaches in the Mouth pod. This is Coach Jeff Williams along with Coach Bray Cook. Got two defending state championship coaches with us today. Sixth defending state championship head coach at Greenwood, Chris Young. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
And 7A state champion last year, Fayetteville head coach, Coach Casey Dick. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Well, guys, let's get into it. I mean, you, and this is the first question I'm going to get into. You won it last year, and we're going to talk about last year, undefeated seasons, which is very difficult. It's one of the most impossible things to do in football, I think. What is your mindset? And I'm going to go with Casey first here. What is your mindset 2 weeks after the state championship game? Besides getting rings and banquets, you as automatically as a coach, we start thinking about the next year. What was your thought process winning it to a month later, getting back from Christmas? What is your mindset with your program about trying to strive and get back there?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I looked at was, you know, obviously we lost some key players in our quarterback, and I think obviously everybody knew that. But the big thing moving forward for us was, you know, how do I take a new group of roughly, you know, what would be, let's just call it 30 to 35 seniors, and make that group really bond and gel with everybody else in our building? Because that was one thing, as I think all of us sit here and we have all these, you know, all these years of coaching and Dube, and there's something a lot, you know, that speaks for itself when you take a group of 150 kids, and then, you know, in some cases it's smaller, obviously, from where you are, but that how well do those groups really, really come together? And you know, we talk to our guys a lot about genuinely like hanging out with other people on our team. And, you know, in the years that have been pretty special, that happens all across our building with all of our seniors, but then it trickles down into juniors and sophomores. And I think, obviously, one of the people that do a great job in that across our state and really the region is probably Chris and Greenwood, from, you know, having squads and the things that they do to get those kids to interact with each other. And I think that also speaks on the consistency that they've had as well.
Well, this is, as I want to hear your part on it, because you've been through it, you know, as assistant, been there, you've been in Greenwood 24 years, you've done the back-to-back, three in a row and all those kind of things. What's your mindset? You're the head coach now. You've been through it. You've seen how this works. What's your mindset?
Yeah, I think it's just find a way to be consistent. I think that's the toughest thing. You know, we've been fortunate to have some good football teams there, so we know what it takes to be successful. So I think right off the bat, you identify where you're not really good right now. You know where you have to improve as a football team. You know, like Casey said, we lost a lot of really good football players. And so right off the bat, you start trying to figure out, how am I going to replace that guy? And your team's going to look different, and your strengths are going to be different, but you know that you've got to have certain things. And so we identified as a staff really quickly the areas we thought we need to start with and focus on, and try to build our offseason forward from that point.
Well, and you nailed that, your offseason. What do you do with your staffs? Because I know both of you, and I know both your staffs. If, you know, you can't stay the same. I mean, and you got to grow. And I'll hit with you first, Chris. What do you challenge your staff to grow? Is it scheme-wise or get better? Are you looking for one little thing to get better at, or – as an overall program, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think I got this from Coach Jones. He did such a great job of coaching coaches. And so the first thing we're going to do staff-wise is I have an individual meeting with each of our coaches. And just, number one, identify things they did really well. and but then find ways that we can improve. I'm like Casey. I'm fortunate. I've got an unbelievable staff, a lot of guys with head coaching experience, a lot of guys that have been very successful. And so, you know, I think it's just sitting down and having those conversations of what have we done well? How do we continue to do that? And at the same time, you know, you got to have those conversations about how do we get better? What are some areas that as a coach we can improve in?
What do you got?
I think there's a lot, you know, you're going to have those meetings from a coach's standpoint, obviously, but there's, you know, there's obviously things you can learn, and the game progresses, and people do, you know, things, you know, well, that I think maybe we can grasp and take, and, you know, we can take things from Chris can take things from us. But, you know, I think a lot of it is kind of staying on the creative side of, you know, not want to say creative, but additions of what you can take from, you know, whether it's philosophically or, you know, just things that you just throw in your program to really match and fit your kids, you know, year in and year out. And I think our defensive guys, I think they do an unbelievable job of sometimes like really getting a little bit farther out there and taking a lot of chances. But then, you know, that's kind of who they are. You know, and they fit an unbelievable mold as far as really developing each and every year and sitting down and saying, okay, like we lost this kid, who's going to replace him? And they have like we have a, you know, a 2 or 3 year plan of what that's going to look like and how they're going to fit in there, how they're going to be successful. So I think it obviously takes some forward thinking in that as well. But I think the big thing is just, you know, there's got to be a lot of, you know, intentional relationships built all across throughout the building with all your assistant coaches as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about last year, just reflection. I thought both of you guys had to do it the hard way, especially watching your team. They went through it and they, you know, had to beat Little Rock Christian twice. You know, the people in your conference, I think the 6A West went to the 6A East and won it in the first round, won every game. How tough, and you turn around, you got to go through Conway and your league up here, which Bentonville got in the finals, and 7A West. Talk to us a little bit about that journey. I mean, it's week in, week out with both of you. Keeping kids healthy, which you can control a little bit, but not a lot besides on Friday night. How do you keep that mold, keep that energy going? And one thing is getting that guy that's the 15th guy on the defense. You know, he's not a starter. Keeping them engaged. How do you do that?
Yeah, you know, you hit on it. I think we played private schools 4 times and 2 really good football teams, Pulaski Academy and Little Rock Christian. And it makes championship even that much more special when you play teams like that. I think the best thing we do is we start off playing Casey and Fayetteville in a scrimmage. Then we played Stillwater. We've got a tough non-conference schedule this year. We want to find out real quick where we are as a football team. We want to play the best because we know that Fayetteville is going to expose, you know, where you got to get better at. And we think that really helps us. But then you said it through the year, you know, just the journey of trying to find a way to be consistent in our preparation each week, regardless who we're playing. You know, if we're playing Little Rock Christian or if we're playing the 8th place team in our conference, trying to keep things consistent and getting that same effort from our coaches, from our players, and just preparing the same way regardless who we're playing. But really good teams in our conference last year. I thought 6A was as good as it's been a long time. And you know, not just PA and Little Rock Christian, but Benton, what they had coming back, had a really good football team. And so it was a challenge. And I think playing those good teams throughout the year helped us be our best at the end.
No doubt. And you guys had an unbelievable journey. I mean, you know, 7A West, we were sitting here about this time last year talking about, well, the 7A West getting back, you know, Central's dominated. This year you're back in the finals. You all win it. Bentonville's there. Had to play them twice. Also, Thanksgiving weekend, a Conway team with Buck James, who has had a lot of success, was at Bryant. But y'all have had to run the path also. Talk to us a little bit about that journey, just, you know, keeping healthy, keeping them engaged. And you know, they read the papers also.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they know what everybody's record is. You guys do too. How do you keep them engaged and focused week in, week out?
You know, they're more in tune to what's going on in the outside world than they've ever been because of things like this. You know, this generation of kids has grown up with a cell phone in their hand, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram, or, you know, they're listening to podcasts and doing all those things. So, like you said, they're more aware of anything. And, you know, a lot of times they'll come to you and tell you certain things that you may not know about a kid playing or not playing or whatever, because, you know, that'll be posted on social media or something like that. So I think the biggest thing that we found out with our kids last year was, and Chris hit on it, was consistency. And one of the things I started doing halfway through the year was, okay, like if we get to a certain point in time of the year You know, I even turned to some podcasts of some college head coaches and listened to them about what they changed as the year went on, why they changed it. And a lot of them said they didn't change anything. You know, they, like, for instance, we never changed. Every Tuesday for us was a 24-period practice. Now, we may have changed what we did in that 24 periods, but our kids knew when it was the first Tuesday of the year through the last Tuesday of the year, when they went outside to practice, it was 24 periods. Monday was going to be 18, and Wednesday was going to be 18 periods. So I think our kids do a phenomenal job of when they know what to expect, then they understand, okay, here, you know, we in return get a lot more just because they know the expectations. They know it's going to be 24 periods and what it's going to look like. So I think being upfront with them and them having an understanding, no matter, you know, who we're playing or what we're doing, just like you said, you know, we're going to have 24 periods or we're going to have 18 and we're going to hit these things in there in there as well. But also, you know, you got to find, as the year goes on and it drags out, you got to be creative. And trick them into ways to where it's being beneficial, but it's also taking a little bit of, you know, of the physical part of the game out of it for them, but also, you know, still preparing them in the same way.
You know, one of the questions I had for y'all kind of falls off of that, creating that consistency, but also the balance of everything else that y'all do, as head coaches, the teaching side of things. I know you're an AD, you know, running the athletic department. How do you balance, the other side of the job that, you know, we don't talk about as much as coaches?
Yeah, this year's been new for me, taking over the AD responsibilities. And as Jeff can tell you, it's a full-time job in itself. But I think we've been able to do it at Greenwood because I have great people around me. You know, we talked about our staff a minute ago. Coach Gill, our defense coordinator, who's the best in the business, has had to take some stuff off of me from a head coach's standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I have some people in the athletic department, our secretary, Kim Hobbs, Brandon Burr, Tyler Woods, our assistant athletic directors. You have to find great people, be willing to give them responsibility and then hold them accountable. And I'm blessed with a great team on the football side and on the athletic director side. And those guys do a good job and make us look good.
I don't think you could say it any better than that. I think as all of us know, and Jeff, you know, you've been doing this longer than anybody here, you know, you're only as good as the people that are around you. And so when you have really good, obviously, assistant coaches, you know, with really good administration, and then you're in a great community and you're in a great place with great kids, you know, it all kind of molds and meshes together. So I think, like I said, I don't think anybody could say any better. You know, we've got great assistant coaches. We've got great coordinators. You know, we've got a great support cast of whether it's administrators or kids or community members or whatever it is. And so I think it's all those things that get compressed down to one, and it kind of just molds together as far as, you know, what does it look like and what does it take? And if you go to other places, it's obviously not, you know, there may be a chunk missing here and a chunk missing there, but that's, you know, that chunk is end up what making, you know, that place special or this place special, you know, to be at for sure.
Is there, so when you're doing that, when you're putting together those pieces, and you have an opportunity to hire an assistant coach, what is one thing that you look for? Like, I've got to have a coach who has this quality. Is there something that y'all particularly might have?
Yeah, you know, I think it starts with, do they love kids? You know, do they enjoy being around kids? Because if you've got somebody that loves kids, you can teach them how to coach. You can teach them the X's and O's and the drills. You know, I had to hire a coach this year, had a really good coach that I lost that moved to Northwest Arkansas, and got a lot of applications, but didn't spend a lot of time on those. You know, I went out looking and called Coach Dick and called Coach Williams and said, hey, who are the best out there? And you got to be careful when you hire a coach, because once you get them, you're stuck with them. And so we really try to put our time in on the front end and really take our time hiring and make sure we research a guy and we feel like we have the opportunity to get better with that hire every time. So I think it's really, really important.
I think it goes just like he said. You know, some people kind of get caught up in, you know, you got to go hire. I think you have to go hire just the best coach, you know, because as we all know, there's the good and the bad of everything that's out there, and you want to hire a bunch of good coaches that do a phenomenal job. But, you know, like he said, I think you've got to hire a guy that loves kids, wants to be around kids. But, you know, secondly, like, just go hire the best coach, and then you can mold and fit. And like you said, some people get caught up in their age. I don't get caught up in the age, because in my eyes, sometimes a young kid that doesn't know, you know, a whole lot right now is going to be better than somebody that may be, you know, kind of set in their ways, because we're kind of creative, a little bit different than what we, you know, traditionally think on defense and on offense. So I think it kind of goes, you know, it goes in with what just like Coach Young said, and, you know, there's you got to balance it out, and you got to know, you know, your certain strengths and weaknesses that you already have, and how is it going to mesh and fit in there together as well.
I think, you know, I'm sitting here with the light glistening off my sweaty forehead. We just got off the field at that 7-on-7 today. And everything going on with what we're allowed to do in the summers, I think, is, and you, we were talking about it before, how unique it is to be able to put on shoulder pads 8 days, if those you choose to go to team camps. What do y'all do in the summer to develop your guys?
Yeah, you know, we do a combination of the team camps and the 7-on-7. And of course, we still work out and practice at school, but those days were really beneficial for us, not necessarily for the returning starters, but the young guys, you know, really trying to figure out, is this guy going to be a guy we can count on, you know, to provide depth down the road this year? You hit on earlier talking about injuries. I think it, Casey and I's level both, the depth is so important. You've got to have that next linebacker. You got to have that next tackle, that next guard. And these camps give you the opportunity to get kids reps that wouldn't normally get a rep in a traditional Friday night game.
Do y'all go to any overnight camps or anything like that anymore?
We do not.
I haven't done that. When I was at Bentonville West with Coach Pratt, we went to Tulsa.
Yeah.
The first 2 years, I think. And that second day, man, it is.
It's a grind.
It is a grind. It's long. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, it costs, you know, to take, you know, per kid, it costs money to go over there. So it's a little bit of a balance of, okay, how many kids I want to take compared to how much money do I really want to spend too. And like you said, you know, we can do some JV camps in between there. I think we've done 3 or 4 so far, you know, in June. So you really take those kids in there and get them a lot of reps and focused on, you know, their own specific position and their drill work and what they're going to see throughout the year. And I think that's really, really beneficial, especially like when I came from Texas, we couldn't do anything with them in the summer.
Yeah.
So when I came up here and they're like, hey, you can do 8 days of teen camp in summer, and then you can do anything you want during or after the workout that involves a football. I was like, holy smokes. And, yeah, you know, you look up and you play your first game and it's like, okay, well, I've really had, you know, it says on the schedule you have 1 scrimmage, but you've probably realistically throughout the summer had 2 additional ones, you know, by the time you get ready to go, plus everything that you've been able and allowed to do. So it's really a lot as far as what we're able to do as far as coaches throughout the state, obviously from June to July.
Yeah. Let me jump in here. Is your June different than your July? And what I mean by that, my theory was, which right or wrong, I tried to do more team camps in June. We're coming out of spring practice. That way, if somebody got hurt, I could get them back. Did more 7-on-7 in July. Is your June look different in your July? Are you trying to protect them a little bit more? Or
that's exactly what we're doing. It's just what you said. We want to be heavy on the team camps in June. We just come out of spring ball, just come out of our spring game. I feel like our kids are prepared for that, you know, from a contact point of view. And then once we come back for the dead period, which we give our kids 3 weeks now, there's 2 week mandated, and we add a week before.
Well, most coaches are doing that a little bit, at least 2.5. I mean,
these kids work so hard now, and these coaches, you know, being able to get them away for a little bit, I think is really important. Our kids put in so much time, and they're so consistent for us that if we can give them that extra week, let them get away. But when we come back after the dead period, we'll focus on 7-on-7. We'll get with a couple teams, and it's not like a traditional 7-on-7 tournament. It's more like a shared practice. And so we think that really benefits us. We'll get with Elkins and Fayetteville and Alma and those guys and really just have a combined practice. It's not physical. We're not keeping score. We're running our base stuff.
Yeah, and you know, from like the strength and conditioning side of it too, I think, you know, Chris hit on, I know in July they do fast dogs. You know, all those things in July. And that's really, we still work out in June, but if we're outside in June, which we are every day, it's pretty much 35 minutes of strictly football activities that we're doing, you know, because you have so many 7-on-7s or you have a team camp or you have a JV team camp that we're, you know, you're getting those kids ready to go. So ours looks different from the standpoint of, you know, what we'll really be focusing on. When we come back in July, we'll, you know, the outside part of it will be more agility and getting, you know, trying to get guys' legs going underneath them. As well as encompassing some football, because you do have to get them ready to go in August, and that's obviously our job as well.
Conditioning. I mean, you got to be in great shape, yeah. And you know, with the hamstrings and things like that. You know, that July to y'all. I mean, you're pushing it in June too, but you're really pushing your getting
endurance,
in shape, football shape during July.
Yeah, we're spending those 3 weeks trying to get ready for the first day official practice in August. And so our focus, like Case said, is strength, conditioning, speed. We do very little football, really, in July and focus on that conditioning so that when we're ready to start practice that first day, kids are full speed.
Change subject here a little bit. Quarterbacks. And You've got one right now. It's been recruited by everybody in the nation. You've got a good one this year, but you had a great one last year who had an unbelievable year. Let's talk about recruiting process, and you're dealing with it right now. And quarterbacks are different than any other position, obviously, in football. And the recruiting process is different as far as they don't look at those quarterbacks like they do a left tackle. Both of you, talk to me. Casey, you go first. Talk to me about if you've got a big-time quarterback, how's that process look? And then what you're going through now.
You know, it's changing every year, you know, and it's changing, number one, because of social media. So, those college coaches, that's what I tell our parents and, everybody that's associated with the program is they're going to reach out to that kid on social media before they contact me nowadays. That's just the way it is. Like, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. It is what it is. And so, we're big on, being upfront and honest about, what you create on social media is your resume, because that's the first thing they're going to do is log on to, we were at camp today and they're asking, well, what's his Twitter handle or what's his, Instagram, whatever it is. And they're getting on there and looking. So, you're going to hear about it after they contacted that kid. But, it's changed recently too, because now they're able to come in and watch a kid throw. So, last year when we had Drake, coaches would come in and say, hey, I need, Drake and two, three receivers to come in, and it's almost like a pro day when they come watch a quarterback, and they're going to fly in and watch whoever throw, they're going to put them through a 20 to 30 minute workout of, hey, we need to see this route, this route, this route. So you kind of got to have it scripted out as far as what it's going to be like for him. And then obviously have the guys there as for, what that looks like when those guys do get there. But it's, it's changing so much just from a year to year basis. But, those guys are special. You don't get very many great quarterbacks that are going to roll in every single year, and especially like the one that Chris has this year. And, Drake last year was, the word I used to describe that kid was just consistent from every week. Just the way that he prepared and took his, went out there and played the game was an awesome thing to watch. But it's tough.
Because they're showing one spot. I mean, left tackle can go play right tackle or, DN. You're going through it right now, and how do you manage that with him and as a coach? And I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on too.
Yeah, he's really busy, from camps to 7-on-7s to getting some private training. But those guys have to get it right with quarterbacks because they only get one, like you said. Yeah. They can't get two or three quarterbacks. So they want to make sure they lay eyes on them. They might want to watch film of a linebacker or defensive back, but they want to come watch that. And not just any coach. They want the quarterback coach coming to watch the guy throw or the head coach or the offense coordinator. So, but I think it's been fun. Like Casey said, it's changing. It's different this year than it was 5 years ago. We've had several good quarterbacks at Greenwood. They've gotten a lot of attention. And the game's changed, and so the process changed. But it's fun when you walk into practice and there's three or four big-time head coaches in there, offensive coordinators watching your guys throw. And I tell you what, it's good for your other kids too. I know Coach Dick can tell you this. They may come to watch Kane throw, but they're going to see our receivers running routes. They're going to see our linemen. And, I just think it helps your overall program. When you have great players and people want to come watch them play, it helps everybody in your program.
No doubt. Bray?
One of the questions I had for y'all was back when I was in high school, pregame, we'd have our meal at probably, 4 o'clock, maybe 3:30. And then we were kind of let loose. And then we'd show back up prior to kickoff and you're rolling through your pregame situation. And then I come to find out, we had a pretty good football team back then. So just kind of show up and kick some butt. And what do you all do for your pregame routine? School ends on Friday. And then what's kind of your hour by hour or what's your process?
Yeah, with home games, we send our kids home after school. And then they'll eat at home and eat on their own. And then we bring them back up at 4:45. And now our moms take care of us. We'll have some healthy snacks and Gatorade and stuff like that in there they can snack on. But we're pretty scheduled, from when they get taped to the special teams meeting to the offensive meeting, defensive meeting, chapel, and everything's lined out from the time they get there at 4:45 until kickoff.
Ours is a little bit different. We keep ours. So we usually get ours. I think this year we'll get them about 3:15. So I mean, we'll pass out. Just from a sheer number standpoint, try to pass out uniforms, and that takes a little bit longer on home games. We try to dress all the kids. So there's about 145 that will dress out. And then we'll go to pregame meal from 4 to 4:30, and then I'll give them from 4:30 to 5:30 to get dressed, get taped, and then at 5:30, like Coach Young does, we do special teams, offensive, defense meetings, and then we start stretching and going outside and handling that routine. But it doesn't – that doesn't ever change. You know, they know from 4:30 to 5:30 every single week they're going to have that hour to, you know, get dressed, get taped, you know, kind of have some little mental preparation side to it if they need to. They can go in the weight room, they'll go in the locker room, just depending on – you know, what that looks like for them and how they do that. But they have that hour to, you know, kind of set aside some things and really start, you know, honing in on that preparation for sure.
The following day, your Saturday-Sunday routine, we've done it a little differently each year. Haven't quite found something that works best for us. Do y'all have a routine on the weekend with your players?
Yeah, we do. We actually give our kids off Saturday. We got a lot of kids like to hunt, like to fish.
Yeah, get into that because yeah. I know – y'all did that. Y'all were always Saturday for a long time and went to Sunday. Can I talk about why that happened?
We used to do Saturday mornings, but, you know, our kids, some of them like to sleep in, some of them like to hunt and fish, some of them like to watch college football in the morning. So we gave them Saturday off. Unless they're hurt, they'll come in for treatment. Our trainers are there, and we're blessed to have them. But we bring our kids in on Sunday from 2 to 4. And that way, both those mornings, they can sleep in, they can hunt, they can go to church service on Sunday. And we feel like it's worked really well for us. The kids enjoy that break. They enjoy resting the day after a game, being able to sleep in. And then Sunday, we've gotten most of our stuff done as a staff as far as wrapping up the game from the night before, and we're able to move on to our next opponent.
We switched to exactly what he did probably 4 years ago, and I think it's been extremely beneficial for not only our kids but our coaches. I don't know about you, but we don't bring the coaches up on Saturday. Now, they have a list of – you know, criteria and things that they're going to get down on Saturday as far as game planning and thing. Because, I mean, you can do it on huddle. You can knock all that stuff out. And, you know, they set aside times of when things have to be, you know, essentially turned in and done. But I think that's been the single-handedly most beneficial thing that we've done is not bring kids in or coaches on Saturday. And, you know, he hit it on there too. But then how many times throughout the year do you have kids taking official visits that need to be there watching and you try to do video on Saturday or they're taking the ACT or they have this or they have that, well, then, you know, you're getting upset because 10 of your kids aren't there and they're 10 of your kids that really need to be there to, you know, watch or lift video or whatever it is. So we've gotten to strictly to where the only time our kids come in is if they need treatment.
And this is my last question. I feel like this could be considered maybe PD for me. Put it in my shoebox. Your lifting schedule during the week, how often do y'all get the guys in the weight room on game week?
We're going three times a week. We're blessed. We have an advisory schedule at our school where we actually get our kids another 40 minutes during the day after second period if they're doing what they're supposed to do in the classroom, which I think helps both ways. Number one, we're really careful keeping up with our kids' grades, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do in the class, because that way we're able to get them during that time to give us essentially a 40 minutes where we can lift. So we'll lift 3 days and we'll watch film 2 days.
Talk to us a little bit about this. Is, you know, the both your conferences, let's get into it a little bit, and the state of football in high school where it is in Arkansas. To me, I think it's as good as it's ever been. I think there's more coaches. It's getting coached well. I think, you know, the guys, the kids are putting time into it. They're, you know, lifting where it was when I started 28 years ago or whatever. It's changed. And you've been in and around for a while, about as long as I have. And your dad coached, you know, the Hall of Fame coach Joe Fred Young at Fort Smith Northside, and then was here at Fayetteville, Little Rock Central, well known. And so you've seen it. You've came from Texas, and, you know, played here, and you've been in it a while too. You're no young coach anymore. And so, where is the state of Arkansas high school football right now? Do you think we're in a good shape, or there's some changes that you might want to see, or just open forum here?
Go ahead. You know, I think we're in good shape. You know, I'm more on the lines of, and I know Chris and I have talked about, like, is there a lot going on in the summer to where we can hone it down, you know, a couple of days? And I think the longer we do this, the more, you know, the older you get, it's like, okay, can we shrink it any, you know, to give our kids, you know, 2.5 or 3 weeks off, you know? So, but I think that's just who we are as coaches and what we do in the business. Is there a better way to do what we're doing? I think, you know, that's constantly what we do is, you know, is there a more efficient way to do what we're doing to make it better, not only for us, because as you guys know, like, our job is to also take care of our kids, but also take care of our coaches. So that's big on how we, you know, try to look at things. whether it says you can do it or not. Like, is it beneficial for your group of kids that you are? But I would agree. I think you look across the state, there's unbelievable coaches, you know, at all levels, whether you're talking the biggest classifications or the smallest. And, you know, you look at schools and programs that are competing for, you know, state championships, it seems, you know, there's obviously a couple that are up there at the top, you know, across all levels. But there's also, you know, there's also a little shift of, you know, of things that are occurring for sure. So I think it's in a great spot. I think we you know, like I said, we have great coaches that do great things, and then obviously have some really special kids as well.
You know, I think we ask a lot of these kids these days, and I think we've got to evaluate that from a coach's standpoint or an administrative standpoint or AAA. But, you know, you've got a lot of kids, and I know I do, that play not only football, but they play baseball or they play basketball or they play soccer. And so in the summer, when we're doing all these football activities, they're also doing all these baseball activities, or they're also playing all these basketball team camps. And so, you know, anything that's good for kids, I'm for. And I think we probably need to sit down together with coaches and administrators and figure out, are we doing what's best for kids? And if that means, you know, giving them a 3-week or a 4-week dead period where they get to be kids for a little while too. Because when they're with us, we're grinding and we're working. But we got to find that balance between letting a kid be a high school kid and letting a kid get the benefits of playing high school sports, regardless of which sport it is. And I think that's an ongoing conversation. I think the state of Arkansas football is as good as it's been. You compare it with Oklahoma and Missouri, and I just think Arkansas is the best state. And like Coach Dick said, we've got so many coaches in our state that have just really improved, and the staffs. Every time you play somebody, I'm impressed. I love watching coaches coach. And so we'll go to team camps, and I'll kind of sit back when we're not playing and watch another staff. And we've got some really good staffs in the state. And then there's more parity now. I think the balance from top to bottom in our league especially is getting a lot closer than it used to be. You know, you used to have two or three really good teams, a couple average teams, and then a couple teams weren't very good. And I think it's getting a lot closer within our conference for sure.
And that's interesting when we get in this, because you're fixing – you've dealt with the PAs and Little Rock Christians last 2 years. They've bumped up into your league now, which you're going to get Fort Smith Northside. Talk about you're getting Shiloh moving up into the 6A. Talk a little bit about that dynamics and just watching how all the conference are changing so much every 2 years with, you know, with people moving up, moving down, and that part of it.
You know, I think when you look at obviously the Central League and you add PA and you add Little Rock Christian, I mean, that's going to be a couple dynamic teams. You know, you watch those teams play, and they're a little bit unorthodox in their approach and what they do, but they're really, really good. Little Rock Christian was at Coach Young's team camp, and we had, you know, got to see them, and they got a quarterback that's a great player. You know, they do a lot of good things on offense, and then they're a little bit different on defenses too from what they like to do. And then, you know, PA is going to be PA. They're going to have that kind of that same Kevin Kelly philosophical belief system, and, you know, get in a bunch of different formations and motions and do some really good things. So I think when you look at it this year, the Central is going to be, you know, a little bit deeper, obviously, than where they've been. And there's not going to be, you know, that big drop off of from where it has been. And then, you know, you take the 7A West and our league, and you're adding Northside in there. You know, it's going to be as good as it's been, as I believe, from you know, having Bentonville and West. And obviously you look at what Rogers did last year, and then you're adding Northside. So, I mean, and, you know, you still have Springdale, Heritage, and Harbor that you know, you're going to have to make sure that you're ready to go, because each one of those teams every week has something different. Like, you look at Rogers, and, you know, they're going to throw the ball vertically, you know, on offense, and, you know, with the kids that they had last year, and then do it pretty aggressive on defense. And then Bentonville is going to be, you know, who they are as far as, you know, tight ends and play action, and, you know, really, really sound on defense, and make you be, you know, really disciplined to beat them. So it's just, you know, like you said, it's really, you know, it's very, you know, there's a lot of parity there.
It's just weird with the balance, but you had those two then all, you know, in the 6A, and then all of a sudden, bam, you've got Shiloh's leaving Braves conference and coming into your conference.
Yeah, you know, it's double-edged sword. PA and Little Rock Christian, our kids really enjoyed playing those guys. I think we have a tremendous amount of respect for both those programs. You know, Coach Lucas is a way underrated coach.
Yeah.
The guy does a heck of a job. You know, people always talk about the talent, and they've got great talent. That guy's a football coach, and their staff does a great job with those guys. And then Dustin Grimmett, the new head coach of Little Rock Christian, I think he's one of the best young defense coordinators in the state. And this will be his first opportunity as a head coach. But those guys are very well coached, and we enjoy playing them. I think we're better because we played them the last 2 years. And, you know, we'll miss competing against those guys, but it is nice that Casey's got to mess with them now. We don't. But then you get rid of those guys, and like you said, you get Shiloh Christian. Tucker Bernard there does a fantastic job. We played him when he was at Stillwater, and he got after us pretty good a couple years ago. And so he's going to have those guys ready. They're a really talented football team, really well coached. And then Southside, you know, is going into a program that, you know, they're used to playing people with 120, 130 kids, and they're going to be a challenge for us, you know. So they graduated a bunch of good players last year, I know, but those guys will have them ready to go. So you lose two good teams and you get two good teams in. The way I see it, it's going to be a wash, and it'll be fun to play Southside and Shiloh again. We played those guys in the past, but hadn't played them in a while.
Non-conference schedule. You have a hard time, and I know you have a hard time, non-conference schedule. What are you looking for? Are you just trying to get who you can get? Or I know we talked to you last year, and I thought you had a great philosophy about, you know, mileage and radius, yeah, where you want to play. You just won a state championship. People ain't calling you to play. And you, I know the situation you've been in. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you're looking at it from both standpoints. Number one, you got to find games, and sometimes that's tough to just find human beings to play. But you want to find teams that are going to make you better too. I mean, that's, like I said earlier, it's why I can remember my first game as a head coach, a benefit game. I played Casey in 2020, and I'm walking off the field in tears almost because, I mean, they just wore our butt out, and I'm thinking we ain't going to win a game. And then we turn around and go undefeated and win a state championship. And I remember Casey this year after we scrimmaged them, and they didn't have their best night that night, and he – looking at me talking, saying, oh, we got to get better in a hurry. So you want to play those teams that are going to challenge you. You know, you don't want to play somebody that you're going to get after and wear out. You want to play a team that's going to make you better. And that's why we play Harbor, Northside, and Bentonville West this year. Bentonville West and Harbor are new to us. We've played them once several years ago during COVID, where we picked them up at the last minute. But, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us, but we enjoy that. We're going to get the game plan for a new team. And, you know, we think that they'll show us some stuff we got to get better at.
Well, Rick was on here last week, and he said he would never play Harbor again. I don't know what that was all about. I think that big guy was over here, probably something to do with it over there. Well, you're still keeping, I mean, the mile radius?
We're trying. It's, you know, it's tough. We've thought about playing each other, but then it's like, okay, well, who's going to scrimmage us?
Yeah.
So that was the other part. So we kept that, and then you know, usually try to get a team from Oklahoma. We were fortunate enough. We kept Cabot and Coach Reed over there. We kept him, and we wanted to continue to play each other. And then we ended up picking up Broken Arrow out of Oklahoma, and then we picked up Texas High, Tex Arcana, who is really, really, really good. If anybody has
yes.
seen those guys play,
yes, I have.
They've got a couple, I think two or three of the top 50 players in the state of Texas, and Coach Sandifer does an unbelievable job. Known him for a little bit, and kind of, you know, what he does and their recent success. So we're going to get tested early and every week for that part, because then our first game when we come out of non-conference is going to be Bentonville West. So, you know, we're gonna hit that fast, and then, you know, we go to Cabot, to Broken Arrow, and then Texas High comes here. So we'll be covering a little mileage here and there. Wow. for a little bit, but. You know, we, like you said, we love to see, you know, where we are, play some different teams. You know, Broken Arrow is going to run a little bit unorthodox defense from everybody. You know, everybody calls it the minnow buck or whatever it is. They're just going to line up at 15 yards, and then when the ball snapped, they're all going to go different places. So that'll be a journey for us. And then obviously Coach Reed and his staff do an unbelievable job. And, you know, at Texas High, they're going to have a lot of athletes and be really sound and disciplined and, you know, create some issues there. But you know, we love that. And just to, like you said, just to see where we are and have some unbelievable competition for sure.
Yeah, Texas High's track team's usually pretty good.
They had a freshman that triple jumped 48 feet this year.
Yeah, we played them down at Eldorado. You got to watch referees. You got to watch referees when you go to Texas Canada. I'm just telling you, it was down there 99. We scored three times. They didn't give us a touchdown. We onside kick and recovered it, walked off the field with the ball and gave it to them. But we're in Texas. I mean, it's just this way it goes, you know. So be careful. Check the referees.
Yep.
You got one, not this year, but next year we go down. Make sure you check on the referees. All right, this is my favorite part right here. And I always tell people this. So you go undefeated, you don't learn anything. You both just went undefeated. What did you learn?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah. I think.
I mean, you don't. I mean, I would tell people, I kind of let kids learn anything going undefeated. There's no.
Well, they don't hit that adversity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And adversity is good for you. It's good for a football team. It's good for a young man to go through. It's one of the biggest reasons I think football is such a benefit to everybody that plays it. Things went pretty well last year. And, you know, that adversity, I think, is something that really can build a football team. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd rather go 13-0 again. If that happens, I'll be good. But we got to have some setbacks. And you have setbacks. You know, you have bad quarters or you have bad plays or you have bad practices. And, you know, you got to focus on that as coaches. It's easy to learn a lot from a loss. It really is. Yeah. And so when you don't have that, you got to make sure as a coaching staff that you're teaching your kids based on practices and finding ways to improve. And sometimes you get a little high on yourself. And that hurts you as a football team. So, luckily, our coaches, assistant coaches, did a great job last year with our kids. And hope we go 13-0 again.
Yeah. What'd you learn?
You know, I think when you – I'm going to fast forward back, or rewind back 2 years ago. And the biggest thing that we learned is how small the game of football is. And you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But the two football seasons ago, we lost three football games by a total combined of 5 points, and every one of them was on the last play of the game, whether it was a field goal or a touchdown. So when you really break that down and you say five total points on three plays and you lose all three games, there's a lot of things that go into that jar that, you know, you really learn in a hurry. And so I think our kids really bought into that. I think they really bought into each week. And really each day, just like Coach Young said, is its own separate, you know, week. You know, in order to go have a great Tuesday practice and have a great, you know, prep week of preparation, you gotta have a great Monday practice. So that's really what we focused on. What last year was, okay, we have a great Monday. We didn't talk about anything else. It was just, let's just go have a great Monday and then a great Tuesday practice and a great Wednesday. And, you know, kids are kids. They know who you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to know who you're playing, what the kid's name is, the number, you know, what it is, all that stuff. So, like, you don't have to say, hey, we're going to walk in and play Greenwood. Like, they're going to know we're playing Greenwood, you know. And so it was beneficial for us last year of really getting kids around each other that really genuinely wanted to be around each other and build the continuity and build, you know, really focus on the team. But then also, just like Coach Young said, you know, win as many reps as you can win at practice every single day, and then do it again the next day, and then do it again the next day. And that's just something our kids bought in. And I think that's one thing that, you know, tremendously helped us. But then it also created that consistency factor on the other end of, you know, they knew what to expect on a Monday. It was 18. They knew what to expect on a Tuesday. It was 24 periods. So, you know, you kind of let them know up front, here's what it is, but here's what we expect as well.
Both of you, you've been at it 24 years. What would you go back and tell Chris Young 24 years ago? What's some advice you'd give him?
It just goes by so fast.
It does.
You know, not only individual seasons, but just, you know, you have a kid 3 years in your high school program, 6 years if you're involved in junior high, and just find a way to enjoy it. You know, find a way to enjoy the young men outside of football, to spend some time with them, because you miss them like crazy once they're gone. And it goes by really fast. You know, I was lucky enough to get to coach my kid, and, you know, it just goes by really, really fast. And so just find a way to enjoy it. I'm fortunate. I've been a part of 11 state championships. And so I think it gives me the ability to enjoy some other things. I'm not so focused on winning, because I'll be honest, and Coach D can tell you this now, when you win one, it's fun for about 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And then you start worrying about doing it again. When you lose, it ruins your life for a year. And my wife's sitting over there and smiles. She can tell you that, because 2 years before we got beat in the finals. And losing is a lot worse than winning is fun. So you got to find ways to enjoy it. But the kids, you know, I miss them, because they get by in a hurry and they graduate and then you look forward to the time they come by and visit with you. I know you're well thought of as a football coach, and I've ran into a lot of people that miss Coach Williams. And so just enjoying the time with the kids.
Cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, exactly what he was saying, you know, 2 years ago, we both played for it 3 years ago. You know, we called each other the day after because we had both lost.
Been there, boys. Been there.
And we're talking like, hey, like, this
sucks.
This is not a good feeling. Sucks. Yeah, it's not a good feeling. So we're talking through some things. But, you know, the thing that I would tell a younger version of myself is, you know, I like to measure success based on like when the kids come back after they leave. You know, yeah, we want to win on Fridays and we want to, you know, do everything we can do for our kids in our program. But when you have that kid that graduated, just like he said, 3 or 4 years ago, and they come back and then you look up and you're in the middle of a homecoming and there's 25 kids sitting on your sideline that graduated 3 or 4 years ago, like, to me, that means that we did our job. You know, you know, really had a profound impact on them that when they left or graduated 3 or 4 years ago, it means enough to them that, hey, they want to come back. So they put a bigger smile on our face, you know, when they come back 3 or 4 years and you're able to talk to them and say, hey, like, remember that time you did this? They're like, yeah, coach, I really get it. So I think that's the awesome part of our job is, you know, we get to watch them and then send them and then hopefully they come back and really, you know, just are able to talk about everything.
That's cool. Give me a story, both of you. Your playing career, we always end with this. Playing career, coach, might have been this year. Give us a story that nobody knows about and that you'll never forget. In your football, whatever. Anything to do with football, give us a story.
You know, my best memories, I can remember, I mean, you'll know this place, when my dad was the head coach at Northside. In his office, he had a couch in there, and I was probably 3, 4, 5 years old. I can remember going in there and just hanging out at 5:36 in the morning and being with my dad and you know, watching practice and hanging out on the couch, swinging in the equipment room in there back there in Northside. Man, football is just such a great game, not only to play, but just to be around and to be a part of. And I have great memories being a coach's kid. Both my parents were coaches, and so I spent a lot of time up at the field house. But, you know, that's one of the reasons I went to coaching. I felt very fortunate that I had that upbringing, was able to experience that stuff with my parents, and I thought it was a good way to raise my children.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines, because when we first got to Fayetteville, there were not a whole lot of coaches' kids that would come around the office. So then now I look up and we're, you know, in the middle of a 7:30 a.m. practice and there's literally 7 or 8 kids.
It's awesome.
You know, in our office. And I'm like, at one point, you know, my wife will come in there on Friday night. And it's the same thing on a Friday night. I get done, you know, playing, and I've got to spend 35 minutes after the kids leave cleaning the office up because I just can't stand clutter everywhere. But it's the same way after every workout. Like all of our coaches now bring their kids up and we're outside running, you know, on the field, and all their kids are in the D zone or running around their weight room. And it's just like, it's awesome to see our kids get to be dads also, because they know the amount of time that we're up here working, that we're doing that. But, you know, I love for our kids to see, you know, have our own kids up there and then they get to interact with them, because I've got a little son now and, you know, he's fortunate. He's talking about coaching his kid. My son's 7 years old and he looks up to those kids like, it is, and they don't even know. And that's what I tell them all the time. I say, guys, you have no idea how much when I leave this building, he's talking about, you know, you and you about, hey, he did this, and this, and I want to wear a necklace like he's wearing. And I'm like, so those are the, you know, those are the things that they don't really understand, but also the impact that they have on young kids.
Well, you know, of course, my dad coached like yours and been around it. When you go to a field house and families are there, I mean, you know, there's something good going on. There's something special. And I've been a part of it where ain't nobody coming in that coach's office. And it is, you know, it's kind of a cold, dark place.
Well, it's a tight group, especially, you know, we're fortunate. We got a great group of coaches' wives. Yeah. They've got to be, because they've got to sit in stands together. There's a lot of nights.
Nobody will sit in stands.
And, you know, I think that's just built over time, trust, and having each other's back and spending those hard nights together or after a big loss or getting beat in state championship game. I think those bonds get strengthened. And I think that's what's special about coaching, is being around those people and developing those relationships.
And even if we got to have hard conversations with people, you know, on staff, that still grows you. If they do it right, you know, it's still, they grow because it's all one common goal.
I think our profession is one of the only ones to where you put a bunch of guys in a room and that if other people walked in, like it would seem crazy to them. But to us, it's like, well, we're just coaching ball. Something that, you know, that we're all passionate about and, you know, we're excited to do. And when we leave, there's not going to be, you know, nobody's going to have any hard feelings. We just want what's best. You know, it may take us 30 minutes to figure it out, but it's going to, you know, we're going to arrive. I think you know, our profession, when we can close the door, say we want to play, and when we walk out of there, it's like, okay, like we figured it out, you know. And nobody's, you know, in my experience, for the most part, nobody's really got, you know, their feelings hurt or anything else, because everybody knows we're trying to achieve a common purpose.
I think so. Well, guys, last thing, let's hear about your teams a little bit. And start with you and talk a little bit about your conference in 7A, and then we'll come back over here with you.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at across our conference, you know, there's a lot of quality players coming back. You know, when you start obviously with Bentonville and the people that they have coming back, you know, obviously their offensive line and then defense, they're going to be very disciplined there. But every team has a lot of, you know, really unique pieces coming back. And then from our standpoint, we've got the majority of our receivers are coming back, and then our DBs and linebackers are there. And I think our D-line is coming along and doing some really, you know, great things. From, I don't think we'll be as electric there as we were last year with the kids that we had, but we've got some unbelievable kids who are fighting their tail off every day to continue to climb and get better. But there's a lot of pieces coming back all throughout the district. There's also some teams changing, you know, philosophically from what they did last year, because, you know, kids leave your program and you can't stay the same. But so there'll be some different faces and some different looks in there as well when you line up and go play each other on our Friday night. So I would look, you know, for us, it's going to be, I think, the same thing that you're going to get every year from the 7A West. It's going to be awesome, you know, all throughout the year, a very driven league that's going to make a, you know, obviously and hopefully a deep run in the playoffs for everybody.
Yeah, excited about the bunch we have coming back. You know, obviously lost some really good football players, but I feel like we've got a bunch of good ones coming back. Offensively, really excited about our wide receiver group, maybe as good a group as we've had at Greenwood, and we've had some really good groups. But just a deep group where we've got six guys that we think can really make plays for us. And when you got a really good group of receivers with a quarterback like Kane coming back, it gives you a chance to be special. I'll be really good on the offensive line. We've got three starters back. Got another starter that moved in, and so a lot of kids with a lot of experience that'll put us in the right situation. Defensively, lost a lot of guys, but got some really good one back. Cash Archer moved from defensive end to linebacker. Jaden Jasmine, Zitzman. So some good pieces to build our defense around. And then I think I got the best staff in Arkansas. So I just back up and get out of the way and let those guys put pieces together. So, you know, we talked about staffs earlier. Casey and I are probably – don't realize how lucky we are. You and your role as AD, I'm getting a little bit of taste of that now. We're fortunate. We're fortunate with the coaches we have, because there's not a lot of those guys out there. And so I know Casey and I have talked on a regular basis about our staffs and how high we are on both of them. And everybody's not like that. So if you can get some good players and some good football coaches, it gives you a chance to have a good football team. And that's what we're looking forward to this year.
Well, and I think you talk both of them. And I respect both your staffs. I mean, know a lot of guys on both of them. They understand the expectation and understand the goal. I mean, kids first, obviously, but what we're trying to do here and how to do it and build it. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of success. And it kind of elaborate a little bit on that. I mean, they understand that.
Yeah. You know, not only are we going to hold our players accountable, we're going to hold our coaches accountable. And there's high expectations for our coaches. You know, we work 7 days a week for 14 weeks in a row, hopefully, if things go right. And those guys work extremely hard, but they know what we expect of them. And the great thing about our guys is they go above that. And so, you know, I really think it's one of the reasons we're successful is that we've got seven assistant coaches that are willing to put in that work, willing to put in the time. You know, the funny thing about high school football, you go 0-10 and you're done after week 10. You get the same salary as if you go 14-0 and work four more weeks. You know, we'll win a game in the second round of the playoffs to go to the semifinals. Well, those guys are now working 5 days in Thanksgiving that they were going to have vacation if they'd gotten their butt beat. And they're thrilled to be there. So,
We always do this when we do our show during playoffs. I always make an announcement to all the parents and fans out there. Before you yell at your coach in the playoffs, he is working for free. So keep that in mind. I mean, same thing with your staff. I mean, and you've kind of put that staff together. I mean, you had some holdovers from Coach Dawson, but a lot of new guys. You got a new offensive coordinator in this year. But they understand the expectations.
You know, and Coach Vlarovic, our offensive coordinator, has been a head coach. And Coach Young knows whenever you're able to bring a guy in, especially that's been successful like he has been, you know, both at the college level and then, you know, being down in Nashville, you know, he understands. He gets, you know, all the different angles and views of it is from being an offensive coordinator but also being a head coach. So that's awesome to have him as a sounding board also. And then, you know, I've got two guys on the defensive side of the ball that have been with me for a long time now that – you know, they do a great job of also challenging me, you know, because they never, those two guys and you know, and Mike never never want us to say the same. So it's, you know, whether it's, well, we need to do this or this, it's never, you know, you never, they never, you don't ever get in a routine, because they do an unbelievable job. And that's kind of the point to where we've gotten to, because we've been around. You talk about relationships and working with people and having the same staff of, well, let's try this, this, or this, because we've been doing this. Let's see if this is better. So, you know, it's always, everybody's, you know, constantly pushing the envelope of seeing if there's a better way to do it and change it. Sometimes it, you know, honestly, it causes you to get out of your comfort zone and try a different angle or try a different approach that you may not like. Like I was not going to be, if 3 years ago, if you told me I would love taking Saturdays off for players and coaches, I'd have told you you're crazy. Because every year for 5 years in a row in Texas, that's what we did. That's just what we did. And then, you know, we got challenged to change it. And I think it's the most beneficial thing we've done as a group, to let our kids go be kids throughout the year, let our coaches go watch their kids on Saturday, and then, but also just let our kids go be kids. So I think there's small things like that, that in the long run, you don't really understand how big of a difference that makes, you know, week 12, 13, and 14, or whatever that is, that really enable your kids to step away and take a deep breath and then come back, recharge, ready to roll.
Cool deal. Well, guys, we appreciate you coming on today and take your time out. You're going to get a little vacation time here. I think I might get a little bit too. I need some. All right. We got two All-American Steakhouse, $100 gift card for both of you guys. Talk to us. Me and Bray have sampled. I know you can't tell. I've sampled a lot this summer over at All-American Steakhouse. The dip.
Crab dip.
Crab dip.
Get the crab dip and the cowboy ribeye.
There we go.
Powerful.
Sounds good. I'm sold already.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. We ate so much there 3 weeks ago. Bray had to pick me up and carry me out of there.
That's true. True story. It was quite
I couldn't.
Somebody should have got a photo.
Bray picked me up. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable place. Ben's apartment. What a place. But appreciate you guys coming on. We're going to have you on, obviously, during the year, like we do all the time. For Coach Jeff Williams and Coach Bray Cook, we'll see you next time.